Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
You know, we espouse that teaching, don't we, that's in that song. That's the teaching of unity. And yet sometimes it sounds too easy. You know, things get in the way. There seems to be barriers or boundaries. There seems to be divisions in our world. And so we're looking for ways to break down barriers. How many of us today would like to break down a few? Barriers that keep us from our good, right? That's what we're breaking down. It's not trying to change things outside of ourselves, rather change our attitude towards those things outside ourselves and to break down those walls that keep us from experiencing that joy and magnificence and wonder of being alive, you know, because we all want more of that. And I want to look at a remarkable scripture. It's Jesus talking. It's a fantastic passage. It's just 27 verses. It's Luke 4, 3 through 30. And he lays out in this passage four barrier-breaking truths that can transform our lives. And really, it's the perfect unity message, right? It's the message of our essential oneness that's enshrined in that beautiful childlike song. And I love it because Jesus gives us the pure... He must have been the first unity minister, Jesus. Because his message is pure... Yeah, amen. His message is pure unity. I got to get something off my chest before we start. And that is, a prayer was offered this week at the stock show, at the rodeo, I think it was, by a Muslim imam, right? And after he said the prayer, there was a lot of lights went on the boards, switchboards, and on the social media sites. Some people saying that was a good thing, but mostly saying, oh no, they shouldn't have done that, especially in this time of division. Folks, that's fear-based thinking, isn't it? We celebrate the fact that a Muslim cleric got up there and offered a prayer at the rodeo, yes? Yeah. Amen. So I just want to affirm that's part of our unity teaching. You know, we can't be fear-based and say, well, it's better not to do that, because that's just an excuse for segregation, I think. That's just an excuse for barriers being drawn up again, and we don't want to go there. So let's jump right into these passages. This is the famous passage of the woman at the well that Jesus visits, and she's a woman, and she's a Samaritan. And that tells us a lot right there. That sets the tone. So here's the first barrier coming down, right? Jesus left Judea and set out once more for Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria and on his way came to a Samaritan town called Sychar near the plot of ground which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. It was about noon, and Jesus, tired after his journey, was sitting by the well. His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Meanwhile, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, we could say, well, not much has happened yet. Somebody's there at the well, Jesus, and a woman comes and he wants some water, right? And yet, in that request, give me a drink, huge barriers are broken down, right? First of all, she's a Samaritan. Now, Samaritans were not accepted by the Jews. They followed the Torah, the Old Testament, but they had different views about it, and they thought the worship was supposed to happen on their particular mountain. They were seen as outcasts. In other words, they were a little bit like unity people in the Bible Belt. You know, we're kind of going to hell because we don't accept our personal Savior as Jesus, etc., etc. We believe that everyone is welcome in heaven, yeah? This idea that there's universal salvation. So, see, first of all, he's talking with someone who is not pure, not holy in the Jewish way of thinking. And not only that, she is a woman. So he's definitely not supposed to take anything from a woman, right? Especially in those days, that would be ritually unclean. And she was not a Jew. She was a Samaritan. So in that very four words, he blew a whole barrier aside, didn't he? Give me a drink. What's he blowing aside? He's blowing aside the idea that there are separation, differences between creeds or religions, right? Differences between genders, right? Everybody's welcome. Isn't that the message? So the huge message that he's saying in those simple words is, hey, we're all in this together, right? There's no separation, really. You scratch us and we bleed. We are all one. We have the same joys. We have the same sorrows, right? Sometimes we get it. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're magnificent. Sometimes we suck. All of us, we're all in this together. And what he's saying, it's okay, yeah? We are one. That's the essence. That's the most important thing. And to dare to say, give me a drink, you know, come on, we're one. We're one in this. There's no real division between us. So that's the first barrier. Now, we may say that, yeah, I believe it, but then we come up against stuff and we're back into the old dispensation again, aren't we, of separation. So it's an ongoing work, isn't it, to break that barrier down and to know that we are truly one, that there is no division, there's no separation. All are welcome in God's dispensation. Went to a funeral the other day for a neighbor of ours, lovely man, and he passed, and there was a traditional preacher preaching, and it was great. It was nice. He talked about him a lot, but then we had at the last 25 minutes, I think, of the service, it was come home to Jesus, you know, that whole thing. And really, I understand it because I see it metaphysically as what they're saying is don't rely on your own humanness, trust spirit within you. But it gets so enshrined in this person called Jesus that then it has to be that way. And it's so sad, isn't it? Because really, Jesus didn't come to be a divider. Jesus came to be a knitter up of division, right? Breaking through the barriers. And he says, it's you. Give me a drink. You're an outcast and you're a woman, but you're okay. So it cannot be about one and only, can it? It's got to be about everybody. Give me a drink. The woman said, what? You, a Jew, asked for a drink from a Samaritan woman? Because she understood clearly the mores and the barriers of life, right? Jews do not share drinking vessels with Samaritans, John tells us. Jesus replied, if only you knew what God gives and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have no bucket, and the well is deep, so where can you get living water? Are you greater than Jacob, our ancestor, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, he and his sons and his cattle too? Now, what's happening here? What is he offering? He's offering not literal water. He's offering spiritual abundance, isn't he? But she doesn't understand that. She's a bit like us. We take it literally sometimes. And she's saying, well, where's your bucket? But it's not to be taken literally. There's a deeper meaning to everything that happens, right? It's a spiritual meaning. It's like giving somebody a fish so they can be sustained for the day, or teaching them how to fish. Bless you. What's the difference between giving a fish and teaching? One lasts literally for one day, but the other one sustains somebody for life. And this is the same image that Jesus is giving, isn't it? It's the idea that I want you to understand it's not just about the water, it's about what the water represents. There's a spiritual equivalent. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. It's a literal water. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never again be thirsty. The water that I shall give will be a spring of water within him. The kingdom of heaven is within, welling up and bringing eternal life. So it's an inner, think of a flower, okay? It's a simple, ordinary flower that we enjoy for a day, and it rises, it falls, it withers away fairly quickly. You could say, well, there it is, a literal flower, okay? I'm enjoying it for what it is, it's a flower. But behind it, within it, around it, undergirding it, is a spiritual truth, right? That is not limited to the flower itself. And until we penetrate into what's really represented by the flower, we won't understand a flower. So, okay, a flower on the surface is just there it is. It's a physical thing. But spiritually, what does it bring to you? What's a flower representing? It represents beauty. So that's the first thing. And it has beauty within it. A purity. Also, it's pure and simple and lovely and innocent. maturity. So it has a cycle, right? It flows through a cycle of growth, sustaining, and then decaying. So it shows us the flow of things. Circle of life. So it's life itself. Renewal, okay. Each flower is unique in its own way, yes. And I'm using the analogy of the flower, but it could be any object or thing in our world, right? Behind it, as Emmett Fox says, is the mental or spiritual equivalent for that thing. So see how much we found in the flower? We found beauty and purity and innocence and the cycle and life. Now, if we're only looking at the flower, we've missed a bunch, haven't we? We've got to see the spiritual significance within it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't take things literally. Understand there is something more going on within everything, within every interaction, right? Don't get annoyed at people because they don't agree with you. See that that is a spiritual opportunity to see something more, yeah? That our greatest enemies can be our greatest teachers and friends because they've inspired us with energy. They've given us that dynamic energy. Ooh, yeah, I got that energy now. And it's my choice to use it negatively or positively, right? It's only energy. The spiritual equivalent of that enmity is energy, and I can use it for good. I don't have to have the screaming habdabs about it. Is that something you say in America? The screaming habdabs, yeah, what do you say? The heebie-jeebies, you know. I like the screaming habdabs myself, but I grew up with it, you know. So don't take it literally is what's being said. See, and yet we do, don't we? There's a great example by Sai Baba, the Indian teacher, and he says that everybody wants peace or they want love or they want success or they want a good job. And it's like an envelope that has I want on the front and back of it. But inside the envelope is the quality itself. You know, I want peace. I want love. I want success. I want happiness, whatever it might be. He said we spend so much time wanting, I want, that we push our good away because we're focused on the exterior of things, on the surface of things, on the literal truth. Well, I don't have it right now. I feel lack. That's from my humanness. I want something. And he's saying, instead of that, don't focus on I want, because then you're just coming from your human perspective, your limited, literal human perspective. Instead, throw away the envelope and just focus on the quality that you would like. Peace, success, love, satisfaction, soul satisfaction. Claim those as your truth, right? And then we come to the spiritual level. We understand the spirit is at work. It's not about I want anything. It's about me releasing all the good that I am, right? The I want is replaced by the I am, which is the quality itself that we dare to claim. But you have to go beyond surface measures. You have to go beyond the literal. For instance, everything comes out of the invisible, doesn't it? We may look around in this room and say, I don't see anybody that I really want to get married to. I got a problem here. I better go to another church, find a... Or a job. I don't see a job on the horizon right now. Well, that's literal truth. But spiritual truth is there is that perfect person for you in the right way, in the right time. And as long as you hold forth knowing that truth is there, move to that spiritual dimension, that person will show up in your life. That great job will arise. It always has for me. But when I'm going, I want stuff, you know, I'm taking it literally, I don't see it around me, we are selling ourselves short. Do you think the Samaritan woman got it? She said, sir, said the woman, give me this water, and then I shall not be thirsty, nor have to come all this way to draw water. She thinks that when she gets the truth, then she doesn't have to work anymore. See, it doesn't work like that, does it? Just because you have a spiritual understanding, you still have to move through your humanness, right? You'll have to let it inform your humanness. What do they say? Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. But the thing is, you're doing it in a different sense now, aren't you? Because you're doing it as a joyous expression of your spiritual truth, whereas before you did it as a drudgery, So first two barriers being broken. What's the first one? We are one. Two. Don't take it literally. Go for the gift of spirit that's within you, right? Don't take it literally. So often we do, even though we know better, we still take it literally. Third one. Go and call your husband, said Jesus, and come back here. She answered, I have no husband. Jesus said, you're right. You're right in saying you have no husband, for though you have had five husbands, the man you are living with now is not your husband. Man, sir, replied the woman, I can see you are a prophet. You can run, but you can't hide from yourself, you know? Jesus, like many great masters, can see clearly into our hearts, right? Can see who we are. And if we do that work too intuitively, we will know what's really going on. Again, it's not about the surface. It's about what's going underneath. So he didn't judge her about that. He just knew it, right? He accepted it. He wasn't going to put her down. She was still welcome, but there was no fooling him. And in the same way, there's no fooling spirit, folks. The best plan is always to be real and authentic, yes? Don't try and be pretending you're somewhere on the planet where you're not, you know? Just be you. And I think it's okay to be full of warts as well as beauty, yeah? It's okay to show your warts, you know? Because if you're trying to hide who you are, you're fooling yourself, right? And you're putting your spiritual progress on the back burner because you can't move forward as long as you're using all that effort trying to be something you're not. So that's the lesson I get from that. Just be authentic. Listen, Jesus was totally authentic, wasn't he? That's what I love about him. I mean, when people did stupid things in the temple, what did he do? He kicked over the tables, you know. He didn't go, oh, bless you, you know, this, that, and the other. No, get out of here, you damn fools. You know what I mean? He was authentic. He was real. On the cross, he didn't go, oh, my goodness, this is so good. I'm fulfilling my destiny. No, he said, God, why have you forsaken me? But then he remembered. He moved from his humanness to his spirit, and he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Yeah? So both ends, real, down to earth. He wept when Lazarus died, but then he did the work of bringing him back to life again. Right? He was human, but then he remembered the power of spirit which resurrects. So I love that. So that's the third barrier, is to be real. Be authentically you. Right? Be authentically human, but also authentically divine. Don't stay in the humanness. Acknowledge it, but then know you have this amazing resource. We are one. Right? I don't have to take this literally. It didn't come to hurt me. It came to bless me. Number four. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, says the woman, but you Jews say that the place where God must be worshipped is in Jerusalem. Believe me, said Jesus, the time's coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Now, can you understand how radical that is from a good Jewish boy who considered Jerusalem to be the center of the world? It's like saying Mecca's not important to a Muslim, or the Pope's not important and Rome's not important to a Catholic. He was breaking barriers left, right, and center. It's radical stuff, right? You Samaritans worship you know not what. We worship what we know. It's from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming. Indeed, it is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I love that line. The preacher yesterday at the funeral we went to got into, of course, the coming of Jesus and taking Jesus as your personal Savior. But it's always about Jesus' coming. You know, but when? He's always coming, isn't he? Sometime later. But Jesus says, sure, look, the time is coming, yeah? But indeed, it is already here. In other words, salvation can be at any time you want it, right? Enlightenment is now if you want to claim it, It's here and it's now. It's already come. Or what's already come? When we will worship the Father in spirit and truth. These are the worshipers the Father wants. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Wow. So what does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? It means I don't have to go to the mountain. I don't have to go to Jerusalem. I don't have to be in the right church or the right place. Anywhere I am is acceptable at any given time, yeah? So I can be praying at work. I could be centered anywhere I am, right? And know the truth of my being. Yeah, isn't that the message here? And worship in spirit, not according to laws or creeds or dogmas, but according to what you feel inside you, what intuitively you know to be the truth. Trust that intuitive awareness. Wow. This is so powerful to me. Yeah? Powerful stuff. The woman answered, I know that Messiah is coming. Here she is again. Here we are back in the literal linear world. When he comes, he will make everything clear to us. Jesus said to her, I am he. I who am speaking to you. Because Jesus had discovered his essential oneness, right? His authenticity, his not living in pretense, his beauty, he's so shining with it that he said, I'm he, I am this. And guess what? So can you be, if you remember, if you worship in spirit and in truth. He wasn't claiming it exclusively, but he was so shining with it because he was one with it that he could be a representative of it, yeah? And that's the highest calling we can all have, is to be a representative of this oneness and this love and this connectedness and this authenticity. At that moment, his disciples returned and were astonished to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said, what do you want or why are you talking with her, right? Because they recognized there was a higher force at work that broke down barriers. They wouldn't go up against that. When a higher force comes into our lives, when we remember the truth of our being, nothing can come up against that, folks. You'll have moved in your consciousness to a higher level of being, yeah? And you will be magnificent because that's the power that God has given to each of us. The woman left her water jar and went off to the town where she said to the people, come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They left the town and made their way toward him. She finally gets an inkling of what's possible, right? Could this be the Messiah? Could it be here and now? And we're asking ourselves the same question, aren't we, on any given day? The Messiah could be here. Maybe this Messiah is embodied in you and me, right? It's here and now. So, pop quiz. You know what's coming. What are those four barrier-breaking truths that we can embody in our lives this week? They're not for church. They're not for special occasions. They're for wherever we are. Let's see if we can get them in a good order. We're all one, all right? We're all one. No matter what they tell you, we are one. There is no division in truth. There are no boundaries in spirit. We are one, and we celebrate that truth. So that's the first thing. Don't take it literally, because it's so rich spiritually. You don't need to take it literally. You miss half the point if you're only seeing the surface of things. So go a little deeper with it. I know I get deep sometimes. One of my radio shows was with a lady in Britain, and one of her friends wrote on it. He said, my brain aches after that hour. But I liked it. Okay, went a little deep, sorry. Your brain aches, that's good. But sometimes we have to take it a little deeper than just living the surface of life. That's two. Yeah. Go for it. Absolutely. Yeah. There is so much. We could talk for another couple of hours about other interpretations, believe me. You could take this passage. This is the beauty of Scripture, folks. I know some of us don't like the Bible and everything. It's scary. But, you know, there's so much unity in the Bible, and it can be interpreted in so many ways. So this is just one way. But I love that idea. We could talk about the water idea all through this, and water is life, water is energy, water is spiritual power. And you have to go deep, right, to find the water of life in your own being. So that fits in perfectly. That was two. Oneness, don't take it literally. Be real. Be really real. Be really you. And then finally, what? Time is now, and Spirit is here. Yeah? And all is well. Amen.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.